The solemn faces of men and women pass by slowly. Mackenzie Crook, Benjamin Smith, Robert Pugh, Ben Batt. Accused by Jimmy McGovern. Written by Jimmy McGovern. A prison guard unlocks the security door. A young man, white with a shaven head, is performing press-ups in his cell. He stops when he hears the guard approach and sits on a bench. He waits, wearing a smart shirt and tie. The guard opens the cell door, casting light across the detainee's anxious face. Somewhere, sweat drips from an unseen man's nose to the sound of a gunshot. The young detainee, Frankie Nash, is handcuffed and led down the grey corridor. A younger Frankie, without a shaven head, is walking through an urban area with his mate, Peter McShane. Frankie is holding his gut and backside.
There's a boozer about half a mile away.
How long's it going to take us?
10 minutes, tops.
Mate, I don't think I'm going to last 10 minutes.
You know what the secret is? Shall I tell you what the secret is?
You're loving this, aren't you?
I'm fucking mortified for you, mate.
No, the secret is, tell yourself it's 20 minutes away. Don't let your bowels know you're getting close. You let your bowels know you're getting close and then it's... What? Should we run?
That'd be a fatal error. Running gets everything going, doesn't it? Your heart rate, your blood, your bladder, your bowels.
No, mate, listen, I can understand people giving into the temptation to want to run, but it's always a fatal error. I'm not going to make it.
Frankie waddles into a toilet cubicle.
Oh, shit!
Present day. Frankie is uncuffed. Then he walks up a stairwell into a courtroom and takes his seat in the dock. A few barristers are discussing matters in the courtroom, but the majority of the seats have yet to be filled. Younger Frankie emerges from the Hawk Pub toilet.
Oh, man, it's always the last few seconds, isn't it? Last few seconds fumbling with your kecks, it's the killer, isn't it?
Excuse me, mate.
Yeah?
Bumped into my bob and didn't say sorry.
Did I?
Are you on your way to the toilet?
Oh, sorry, mate, we're desperate. Really sorry.
Look, I don't want you to apologise to me.
Mate, I want you to apologise to my bod.
Of course I will. Really sorry, love. The blinkers on, you know what I mean? Really, really sorry. Okay. Come on, just be a minute.
Where are you going?
Oh?
You're going nowhere, son.
You are?
You're not going anywhere. Should you get back in that toilet and clean up the mess you left?
Can you get this lad a plastic bag? He seems to have left his underpants in our toilets, you see, Moira.
Looks,
plastic bag to put him in, please, love.
Yeah, well, when I went in there, mate.
You're lying.
I'm not, you were in that state when I went in there.
You're lying. Shall I tell you, I know you're lying.
Yeah.
Can you back me up on this one?
You're on.
They're all regulars in here. They wouldn't leave a toilet in that state.
Right, well, one of them
They've
did.
Got too much respect, mate. Too much respect for others. Something that you
don't seem to have, mate.
I'm an ABE champion.
Are you?
Yeah.
So am I.
Doing nothing, mate.
You're going nowhere until you got in there and sorted it. All right, so...
I'm going and I'm going now.
You know why you bumped into his bird? Should I tell you why I bumped into your bird, mate? Yeah.
Yeah.
We can deal with that issue first, the bumping into the bird issue, and then we can turn our minds to item two, the toilets, yeah?
Yeah.
You couldn't help it. She's so bleeding fat. She's huge. It's impossible not to bump into her. She could be stood on the other side.
The bloke makes a move, but Frankie headbutts him. Then Peter decks the landlord. They both do a runner. Now they're sitting on a set of swings.
Oh, mate, no, honestly, I thought I broke my hand on his jaw. It just went down, boom.
Someone did a
size of him, I swear.
Two police officers approach with Frankie's soiled underwear in a bag.
Oh, look at the bag.
You left your underpants behind, Cinderella.
Don't know what you're talking about.
The landlord's in hospital, broken jaw.
It's a funny name for an hospital.
At the station, Peter's escorted to a holding cell where Frankie's waiting. Peter sits down.
He reckons you'll get 2 years.
What?
You got previous.
Yeah, Frey.
Still counts.
I'll get 2 years.
Yeah.
Not you.
Nah.
You did it. You broke his jaw.
I'm joining the army. He reckons the judge will go easy if I'm joining the army.
Frankie's girlfriend, Maria, is waiting in the station. She looks disappointedly at Frankie as he's escorted out to her.
The army?
Yeah. He reckons a judge will go, what's the best place for a vicious thug? Prison or the army? Well?
I don't know.
What's your opinion?
I don't want you to join the army. But I want you to go to prison even less. I'm pregnant.
She hangs her head, and he struggles to comprehend. Many months later, Frankie steps out of his flat dressed in his army uniform, and Maria follows him out, cradling their baby. They try to say goodbye, but words fail them. He kisses her, then he kisses his child. Maria becomes emotional as Frankie walks away. From the grey northern housing estate to an intense firefight in the heat and dust of Afghanistan.
Rapid fire!
Frankie, Peter, and the rest of their squad are pinned down by enemy fire. Most of the soldiers are returning fire, but Frankie, Peter, and another soldier are cowering behind a wall, too afraid to move. A senior officer shouts at them.
Return fire! Return fire, you pricks! Return fire! Return fire! If you don't return fire, I'll kill you! Return fire! I'll count to three! 1, 2! If you don't return fire, I'll kill you!
Frankie gets to his feet and machine guns the enemy, but Peter remains rooted to the spot, paralyzed with fear. A fallen soldier's bloody wound is treated by a fellow soldier. Peter grimaces, unable to move his body. The squad returns to base.
Sure, I got it. He had a green turban on. He must have thought it was camouflage or something, but I went for it.
I got two, I think.
And it disappeared.
I got one.
And then I didn't see it again, so I must have got it.
Two of the bastards.
So my one.
Stayed down because he wanted to, because he'd all
14 years older, a
big
fuck-off rifle, and he's wearing flip-flops.
If it wasn't two, it was three.
I mean, if he come forward to give him a rifle, why can't he get him a proper pair of shoes?
So I don't want to hear any more about them being good soldiers, because I can't.
What's he fighting for? I can't see so screwed up that no one's got any shoes.
They're brave. You know, I'm not saying they've got no bottle. I'm just saying they're crap soldiers.
It's just on my head, isn't that? 14 years old and no shoes. That's the enemy.
Frankie sees Peter alone in the sleeping quarters. A couple of others look across at him with a mixture of pity and anger. Then the senior officer, Lance Corporal Buckley, throws his bag down.
Shane, come here.
Peter stands and faces Buckley.
Why didn't you return fire? Come on, smart ass. All you've ever done is give it loads of that ever since you got here, loads of that. So come on, why didn't you return fire?
Couldn't lift me head.
Why not?
Scared.
Scared of getting around in it?
Yeah.
What's going to happen if you don't return fire? I'll tell you what's going to happen if you don't return fire, you dirty, filthy faggot. Taliban's going to say there's nothing coming back at us here, lads. Taliban's going to walk over to where you're hiding and shoot you in the head. What you're most scared of, that's going to happen, you stupid gobshite, because you're not returning fire, right? Overwhelming force and ruthless efficiency. That's how you beat sneaky bastards like the Taliban. Overwhelming force and ruthless efficiency. And what about your mates? It's okay for them to get slotted and not you. They got their heads up, returning fire, protecting you, and you're cringing like a tart. See this? See this, faggot?
He strikes Peter.
You're the bitch. Right? Right, bitch?
Right.
Till you prove yourself in battle, you faggot. Till you return fire while under fire, you are the bitch. This man doesn't belong here. This man will get you killed. Have nothing to do with him.
Frankie goes to help Peter off the floor.
Go.
Peter holds out his hand to keep Frankie back. A new day, and Peter finds his possessions scattered across the sleeping quarters and his blankets ripped. Now he's doing press-ups in the blazing sun while Buckley and Sergeant Evans watch.
Why would a man rip up his own blankets?
No idea.
Did you do it?
No.
McShane.
Sarge.
Why did you rip your blankets?
I didn't rip them, Sarge.
Who did?
I don't know, Sarge.
Nash.
Sarge.
You're mates with this man.
Yes, Sarge.
Did you see anyone rip up his blankets?
No, Sarge.
McShane.
Sarge!
Latrines.
Peter's on his hands and knees, scrubbing the rancid latrine. Buckley strides over and hurls a bucket of foul sewage over him.
You call that clean?
Peter's left shaken and covered in brown filth. As he washes himself at the water pump, another soldier throws more excrement over him. Peter stands there, powerless and humiliated. Late at night, he's the only soldier without any blankets. Frankie looks up from his own bed and sees Peter shivering in the dark. Frankie slowly gets up and creeps across the floor. He throws his blanket across Peter, who gives him a grateful look. Day. Peter's using a satellite phone, and Frankie's listening from a short distance away.
Saw a bit of action the other day. Can't tell you that. Pretty serious, yeah. I did all right. I'm going to get the VC for it, but I did all right. We all did. It's a good bunch of lads.
In the mess tent, Buckley slowly gobs into Peter's plate of food. Peter barely reacts and goes to sit next to Frankie. He slumps into his seat and stares wearily at his ruined meal. Buckley follows him and addresses Frankie.
Did you say he could sit there? Did you say he could sit there?
No.
And why did you sit there? Why did you sit there?
Just did.
What?
I just did.
Do you like being the bitch?
No.
Would you like someone else to be the bitch?
Yeah.
Who? Frankie? Frankie's your mate. Do you like Frankie to be the bitch?
No.
Then who? Who deserves to be the bitch more than you?
No one.
Thank you. Tell him to piss off.
What?
Tell the bitch to piss off.
Frankie turns to Peter, but Peter gets up before he can say anything. He dumps his plate and trudges away, looking disillusioned. A local man is trying to sell some scarves to Peter, who's working at a security barrier. Frankie strolls over.
All right. But how's your friend, by?
No, thanks, mate.
You don't understand, no.
Made in home. No, thanks.
Good price.
No.
I'm gonna kill him.
Sorry, trying to make a few bob.
Not him. Buckley.
You buy for your woman?
I just do one, mate, yeah, please.
All silk. You see?
How? Don't know yet.
Beautiful scarf for your woman, huh?
Need to get yourself on, mate. Go so you can get yourself on.
I'm not sick.
You're mental.
Go and come back.
Yes, mate! It's not your fault you're not up to it. There is no shame in not being up to it. So just throw a big one, your nerves or something. Get banged up.
I can't.
You can.
Can't let me dad down. Even if I could get home, which I don't think I can, I think the only way home is in a box. I couldn't do it anyway. Because I can't let me dad down, because he's a fucking hero. And he thinks I'm one too. He thinks I'm slotting all kinds of Taliban.
I come back.
You join up, but you haven't got a clue. If someone could just somehow show you it. Look, this is incoming fire. You've got to stick your head up in it and fire back. Can you do it? If so, join. If not, then off you pop. But they can't do that. So by the time you see what it's like, what it's really like, it's too late. You've already joined. You're a soldier.
Dusk. Frankie's driving Buckley.
We're picking up a monkey. Military policeman. Fucking gobshites. All day, every day, we're waiting for a bullet or an IED. Is it any wonder we get rat-arsed every now and again? But when we do, they're onto us, aren't they? Those bastards that have never seen action in their lives are banging up proper soldiers. Fucking bastards.
They pull up to a compound, and Buckley calls out to a military policeman on a satellite phone.
Taxi for McVeigh.
The policeman isn't amused.
Parky, swap with the bitch. Bitch!
Corporal,
come here. You're as good as two men short to get in here, right?
Right.
Had a good night?
McVeigh gets in.
Bang anyone up?
Very funny.
Let's go.
They pull away in their open-top 4x4, followed by a second vehicle with a mounted machine gun on the back. McVeigh is fast asleep in the back, but Peter is alert and terrified.
This could be your chance, bitch. Your chance to redeem yourself.
As they drive through a canyon, bullets ring out from some gunmen on the clifftops and thunk against the bodywork of the vehicles.
Contact left! Contact left! Get down, you stupid bastard! Soldiers work! Step on it! Proper fucking soldiers work, you prick!
The soldiers fire back, but Peter huddles down as low as he can.
Keep your head down!
The machine gunner returns fire at the silhouettes on the clifftop.
McSay! Return fire!
Lying in the back, Peter grips his rifle and raises it slightly. He pants heavily and aims the weapon at the back of Buckley's head.
Cease fire! Cease fire!
Peter lowers his rifle with a mixture of relief and dread. They return to base in the fading light. Buckley jumps out of his seat and squares up to McVeigh.
Name a number.
Why?
You're on a charge.
I don't think so.
I know so.
You were pissed. I had trouble restraining you. That's how you come by all those cuts and bruises.
What cuts and bruises?
Buckley beats him.
British soldiers are not taxi drivers. You don't endanger their lives because you fancy a lift home. He was pissed, right? Back me up. As pricks like this get you killed, I get you home safe and sound. So back me up.
Day. Buckley and his men report to Sergeant Evans.
Monkey was very drunk. He kept making himself a target, so I had to restrain him, and I think that's how he came by his injuries.
Monkey was paralytic, Sarge. So Corporal Buckley had to restrain him, and that's how he came by his injuries, Sarge.
The monkey was rat-ass, Sarge. The book sat her holding down, and I think that's how he sustained those injuries, Sarge.
Frankie.
The monkey was bevied, Sarge. He kept making himself a target, Sarge. Corporal Buckley restrained him, and that's how he came by his injuries, Sarge.
Peter hesitates before the sergeant.
The monkey was pissed, Sarge. Corporal Buckley had to restrain him, and that's how he came by his injuries, Sarge.
Give you 5 for it.
We agreed 10.
5.
You shake my hand on 10.
That was before I saw it.
You're not like?
I not like.
Why?
It's dirty.
It is clean.
It's been used.
No, it is new.
5.
You insult me.
5.
We had deal. 10.
No, I don't want it.
You don't want it?
No.
Dollars?
Yes.
No, I'll have it.
My friend.
Frankie buys the cloth.
What?
Buckley's furious.
You said you didn't want it. You said you didn't want it.
I wanted it for 5.
I didn't realise.
You realised.
I didn't. Give us 5 then.
Shove it up your ass.
What?
Shove it up your ass. You think you're special, don't you?
No.
Yes, you do. You think you're special, mate. Cut above the rest of us, making a twat out of me in front of some raghead. You must think you're something special, mate.
I wasn't trying to make a twat out of you.
Cut above the rest of us.
I wasn't trying to make a twat out of you, and I don't think I'm anything special.
No?
No.
Piss on that bed.
Buckley points at Peter's bed.
What?
Piss on your mate's bed. Piss on the bitch's bed.
Scouse and Parkinson watch in silence.
No.
Parky?
Yes, Bucks.
Would you piss on the bitch's bed if asked to do so?
Yes, Bucks.
Scouse?
Yes, Bucks.
Would you piss on the bitch's bed if asked to do so?
Yeah, Bucks.
Piss on the bitch's bed.
Frankie's torn.
No.
Or take the bitch's place.
Scouse and Parkinson look uneasy. Frankie holds Buckley's stare, but then reluctantly folds under the pressure and advances towards the bed. He stands over Peter's bed, unzips his trousers, and begins to urinate. Scouse and Parkinson watch with grim expressions. Peter returns to the tent and stares in disbelief. Frankie looks up and is unable to hide his shame. They hold each other's gaze. Then Peter turns away, hurt. Frankie's left mortified. Peter's sitting alone in the latrine with his back against the wall. His chin quivers as he tries to hold it together. Time passes. He cannot bottle his emotions any longer and begins to cry. In the dead of night, as the other soldiers sleep, Peter puts on his uniform. He slips on his vest and buttons up his shirt. In a ritualistic manner, he puts on his beret and adjusts it accordingly. He marches towards the end of the tent and stops to take a look at Buckley, asleep in his bed. Peter holds a single bullet between his thumb and forefinger and studies it intensely. Dawn. Frankie wakes suddenly and looks around. As if realizing something, he leaps out of bed and runs out of the sleeping quarters. He runs through the quiet base and finds Peter slumped in a corner, gun in hand, his brain splattered across the wall. Frankie stares in horror. Buckley sprints round the corner behind him and stops dead in his tracks. Seeing the body, he backs away. Present day, and Frank is sitting in the dock at the courthouse. He glances sideways to Maria, who sobs heavily. Others take their seats in the courtroom. Three burly men sit behind a grieving woman. A somber middle-aged man sits and looks at Frankie. Frankie's standing alone in a room at the army base. Buckley walks in and faces him.
Sorry about your mate. There's nothing we can do about it now. He's dead, we're alive. So we gotta get our story sorted, right? We gotta get...
Don't do that! Don't even think about doing that, because I'll kill you if you do, right? I'm twice the man
you are. Killed him!
So don't even think about
you're
taking
me. You're as good as killed him!
Don't even think about... Told you, don't do it. Don't even think about doing
it. Get off me.
You do it again.
Get off me.
I'm going to have to hurt you again.
Get off me, you prick.
I'm going to have to get serious, so be a good boy.
Let me go.
Promise to behave.
Let me go.
Promise to behave. Say, I promise to behave.
Promise to behave.
Buckley releases him from a headlock and throws him to the floor.
I as good as killed him, yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't, but let's say I did. I made him the bitch, and that's what killed him, yeah?
Yeah.
I did it for you.
What?
I did it for you. Cowards like him get you killed.
He was not a coward.
He was a coward.
He was an ABA champion. You do not win an ABA if you're a coward.
We got to go forward. We're stuck, and we've got to go forward. I come up behind you, right? Tap you on the shoulder, you go. You go safe in the knowledge that I'm behind you. I'm covering you. I'm watching your back. But what if a bitch taps you on the shoulder? Do you go forward then? He's not gonna cover you. He's not gonna watch your back. First shot, he's got his head down, cringing. Men like the bitch get other men killed. I'm sorry he's dead. I don't want any man dead. I'd sooner him dead than a proper soldier. And now that he is dead, we're all a little bit safer, right? Right? So, story. It's time to get our story sorted.
I know what the story is. The story is you drove into suicide. That's the fucking story!
What are you doing?
I'm going.
You're going nowhere. You go when I tell you to go. The story is he killed himself.
Yeah.
What's that gonna do to his family? A military family, you gobshite. A military family. Old man, a war hero.
You don't give a shit about his family. You're just covering your own back, you lying bastard! You're just covering yourself, that's all. You were just covering yourself.
Buckley glares at him.
Can I go?
No. Imagine it's you. You're dead, not him.
Just let me leave.
You're married, yeah?
Yeah.
Parents alive?
Yeah.
Imagine that. We got to tell your bird and your parents you're dead. That's hard enough, but imagine this. You're not only dead, you were a shithouse. Coward. Such a coward that we made you the camp bitch. We made your life so fucking miserable. You went to a dark, lonely corner, stuck a rifle in your gob and blew your brains out. What's that gonna do to your bird and your parents, eh? What's it gonna do to his? What about this? Isn't this better? Killed in action. Died a hero's death. Sacrificed his life to save a mate. 10 mates. 100. A war hero like his dad.
Frankie lowers his gaze. A glimmer of fear seeps through Buckley's hard exterior.
You hate me, yeah?
Yeah.
Want to pay me back?
Yes.
Understandable. But it's not about us, is it? It's about them. His parents. It's about not making their pain any worse than it has to be. Yeah? Yeah?
Frankie's thoughts are in turmoil.
Would you like to take him home? Escort the coffin. I can fix that for you. You can talk to his parents, make them feel proud of him, then spend a bit of time with your bird and your baby. Would you like that? Spend some time back home. Yeah. Right.
Frankie hurries out, leaving Buckley rattled. Frank is in the passenger seat of a 4x4. He watches in the wing mirror as Peter's coffin is loaded into a truck. The 4x4 leads the truck away from the base. The convoy makes its way through the desert. From the arid, rocky landscape of Afghanistan to a grey urban sprawl in the northwest of England. Frankie, wearing his uniform, is in the back of a car following a hearse. He turns to Peter's father, Pete McShane Sr., in the seat next to him. Pete looks numb. The hearse and car turn into a residential street. A pedestrian respectfully pauses as the vehicle passes. The vehicle stops outside a house where several mourners in black have gathered. Mrs. McShane and Peter's sister emerge from the house. The hearse door is opened, revealing the coffin with a Union flag draped over it. Pete gives his wife and daughter a sad, compassionate look as he climbs out of the car. Frankie sees them and hangs his head in shame. Pete watches the undertakers carry the coffin from the hearse. The coffin is placed in a room inside the house. Pete's war medals sit proudly on a table in the same room. The undertakers go, leaving Frankie and Pete alone with the coffin. Pete looks sternly at Frankie, making him uncomfortable. Then Pete moves a couple of vases of flowers from a table and grabs a screwdriver. He takes the flag off the coffin.
What are you doing? Mr. Mac. Said not to do that. We shot through the edge, you see.
He unscrews the coffin lid.
They said to keep it sealed. They said it'd be too distressing
to... I want to see what they did to my son.
Frankie gathers up some of the screws and puts them to one side. Pete removes the final screw and pulls off the lid. The shock of seeing his son's body causes him to falter. Frankie finds it hard to look at the body. Pete regains his senses and puts the lid down.
Give me a hand to lift him. Oh, come on.
Frankie shakes his head as he helps to lift the body.
One, two, three. Careful. Careful. Push him up.
They put him on the table. Then Pete unbuttons Peter's shirt. Frankie can't take any more and leaves the room. Pete continues to undress his son. He doesn't notice Frankie leave until he slams the door. Frankie swigs from a can of beer with the other mourners.
He looks great. He's got a bad head wound, but you can't see it. Apart from that, it's Peter. He looks great. If you could give Ginny and Jill some time, and then after that, if anyone wants to see him, you're more than welcome. Yes.
To Frankie.
Smoke.
They both head outside. They stand in silence, smoking.
Why a sealed coffin?
They didn't say.
Got a mark on him, so why seal it?
They didn't say.
They didn't want me to look at the body, that's why.
I don't know anything about that, Mr. Mac, honest.
I couldn't find an entry wound.
No?
No, the wound to the back of the head is an exit wound. There's no visible entry wound. How do you explain that?
I don't know.
Maggie, you're like brothers. Don't make me turn gangster on you, son.
Right.
The bullet entered through the roof of the mouth. There's only possible explanation, isn't it? Huh? In there, out there.
Yeah.
Yeah? So he was shot by a 2-foot dwarf. All he's done himself. He shot himself.
He's killed in action.
Frankie, I told you. Don't make me
He was killed in action.
Son,
he was killed in action.
Lies. How was he killed in action?
It's a ricochet.
Pete throws down his cigarette butt.
Ricochet. Yeah.
We had our heads down. Bullets were flying everywhere. And then one hit the ground right by him. Bounced up through his mouth. That's what they say happened. I didn't see it.
Must have hit a rock, eh? To bounce like that. Must have hit a rock.
didn't see it.
It must have done, though, yeah. Must have hit a rock.
Yeah.
There wasn't a mark on his face. There'd be bits of gravel, bits of shite embedded in his face, pockmarked all over his face. But there wasn't a scratch. How do you explain that?
Didn't see it.
How do you explain it?
I can't.
He shot himself. I know he shot himself. Now, as far as his mother's concerned, as far as anyone else is concerned, he was killed in action. But I know the truth.
He was killed in action.
Why would he kill himself?
He was killed in action.
Did he make him the bitch? I served in that regiment. I know what goes on. Did they make him the bitch?
No.
Did they rip his blankets? Did they spit in his food? Did they piss on his bunk?
No.
I can't believe a word you're telling me, Frankie. Tell me the truth, lad. Otherwise, I'm going to believe everything's a lie.
Frankie's torn up inside.
He was killed in action.
Pete studies his face.
Right. Thanks.
Pete returns to the house, and Frankie shakes as he inhales on his cigarette. He passes the swings where he and Peter were arrested. Peter and a rival silhouetted against the bright light as they compete in a boxing match. Peter knocks out his opponent, then hugs Frankie at the ringside. The two of them chatting up women in a club.
So, shall we establish the rules?
Right.
We come as a pair.
Me and him. Him and me.
But right now, as of this moment, and I don't want to build your hopes up, I'm just telling you the score as it stands right at this moment. So it is subject to change. But I'll probably have you. Now, it isn't all good news.
Frankie's travelling in a taxi as he remembers the past. The taxi arrives at the estate where Maria lives. He approaches the front door, and Maria steps outside with the baby. He kisses the baby, then Maria. Frankie's staring blankly at the TV.
A flu party, she said. I thought it was some kind of a joke, but it wasn't. They get the kid who's had the flu, hide it, but it's still contagious, and then they make all the other kids play with him. Apparently. The earlier you get it, the better, because it's not going to be as strong and it's not going to be as bad.
He sees Peter shoot himself.
5, 6 times. Because the more it's passed on, the stronger it gets and the harder it is to treat. And it can change. It can mutate.
At night, Maria gets up to see to the baby. Left alone in bed, Frankie sits up and reaches for his cigarettes, but the packet's empty. He imagines Peter inserting a rifle between his teeth and blowing his brains out across the bedroom wall. Frankie looks tormented. Morning, and Frankie's getting into a taxi. Maria blows him a sad kiss from the balcony. She cuddles her baby as the taxi leaves. Frank is in the passenger seat of a 4x4, traveling across rough Afghan desert. The air quivers from the heat. He remembers playing football with Peter at base camp. Buckley watches as Peter scores. Peter kisses Frankie's head. The 4x4 pulls into base camp. Buckley comes out to meet it. Frankie climbs out of the vehicle and slings his bag over his shoulder.
Everything okay?
Yeah.
No awkward questions.
One or two.
Got all sorted, yeah?
I'm gonna grass.
What?
I'm gonna grass you up.
What have I done?
You drove Peter McShane to suicide.
You know what we do to grasses in the army?
I can imagine.
You can't. If you could imagine it, you wouldn't do it.
I'm gonna grass. Right now.
Frankie goes to see Sergeant Evans.
Sarge.
What is it?
I'm gonna grass someone up, Sarge. And I know what you're thinking of me for doing that, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
Who is it?
Buckley.
What's he done?
He bullied Peter McShane, Sarge. Made him the camp bitch. Treated him like shite. And that's why Peter shot himself, Sarge.
Peter McShane died in action.
We all know that's bollocks, Sarge.
Why are you doing it, eh?
I'd like you to put it to Corporal Buckley, Sarge.
Your mate's dead.
I'd like you to put it to Corporal Buckley, Sarge.
Okay.
Buckley makes his way to the sergeant's tent. Frankie is still waiting there.
You want me?
Private Nash has something to say to you.
You drove Peter McShane to suicide.
McShane was killed in action.
He wasn't.
Permission to speak freely.
Granted.
Overwhelming force, ruthless efficiency. For that you need soldiers, proper soldiers. McShane was never going to make a soldier, too much of a coward. So it was my job to find him something useful to do. Something that would contribute to the well-being of the men in my care. So I made him the bitch. And the bitch has a big role to play in the British Army, Private Nash, and here's why. We don't get many intellectuals in here. We get young men with very little imagination. That's why they're so fucking brave. Because half the time they can't imagine the consequences of their actions. And that's how we like it. Trouble is, they can't imagine the consequences of stepping out of line either. Of letting their mates down. Losing their mates' trust. Losing their mates' friendship. And so you need a bitch. That's what it's like to lose your mate's friendship. To lose your mate's support. That poor bastard in the corner shivering and covered in shit. And you could be next. Step out of line. And you could be next. I'd go so far as to say McShane's role was crucial. You should be proud of him.
Frankie looks into Buckley's cold, unflinching eyes.
Permission to leave.
Granted.
Sergeant Evans carries on with his paperwork.
What are you going to do about it, Sarge?
Nothing.
Demand that you take action, Sarge. Demand that you do something.
The sergeant ignores him. Outside, Frankie broods while puffing on a cigarette. Present day, in the courtroom.
All rise.
Everyone stands as the judge enters. The judge bows and the barristers reciprocate. Then everyone sits back down. In Afghanistan, Frankie returns to the sleeping quarters to find his blankets have been shredded.
You're the bitch. The last bitch was an exceptionally bitchy bitch. A hugely entertaining faggot. But sadly, he didn't last that long. From you, we expect rather more.
Buckley strikes him with the butt of his rifle. Now Frank is being forced to do press-ups.
Why would a man destroy his own bed?
No idea.
Did you do it?
No.
Nash.
Sarge.
Who was it?
Buckley Sarge.
Can you prove it?
No, Sarge.
Latrines.
As Frankie scrubs a latrine, a soldier tosses a bucket of excrement over him. In the mess tent, Buckley dribbles a large blob of spit into Frankie's food. Frankie looks like a broken man. Frankie wakes and sees Peter's body at the end of the bed with blood oozing from his head. Frankie rolls over, but he's haunted by the image of Peter's suicide. He opens his eyes and sees Peter's body again. Late at night, the sleeping quarters are silent and dark. Frankie's putting his uniform on. With the same attention to detail as Peter on the night of his suicide, he buttons up his shirt and fastens his belt. He puts on his beret and flattens one side with his hand. He marches menacingly across the base camp and into a building where Buckley's watching television. Without hesitation, he plunges a knife into Buckley's chest and twists it.
For Peter McShane, he could blag much better than I could. But I reckon he'd say something like, not the overwhelming force and ruthless efficiency of the attack. Even though you're bound to be a little bit pissed off, does the soldier in you salute me?
Frankie pulls the knife out and lets Buckley slump to the floor. In the morning, Frankie's kicked awake by Sergeant Evans.
Nash! Nash!
Yes, Sarge?
Why are you in Buckley's bed?
I knew he wouldn't be using it on account of being dead, Sarge.
Frank is in handcuffs being escorted onto a truck by two military police officers. He looks over his shoulder and sees two men carrying Buckley's body. Sergeant Evans flicks a contemptuous look at Frankie. Frankie turns away. Then he and Buckley's body are driven off in two separate vehicles. From Frankie in the truck to him in the dock at the courthouse. The jury members return to their seats. Before the hearing, Pete's in Frankie's holding cell.
My barrister asked me why I did it. I said I killed him because if I didn't, I'd have to kill myself. He said, how do you know that? I said, because it happened to my mate. He said, you have to tell the court that. It'll help you enormously.
Break his mother's heart.
I know.
And his sister's.
I know.
What'll he do?
Keep still.
That's big of you. It is.
Is it? I pissed on his bunk.
Why?
If I didn't, I was the bitch.
Pete finds this hard to hear.
I pissed on his bunk and he saw me do it. And an hour later, he was dead.
Pete looks away, trying to come to terms with it. He stands and walks to the door with his back to Frankie. He stares through the security hatch and reflects. His face softens and he turns back to Frankie.
Stand up, lad.
Frankie does so with a look of dread.
It's okay.
He looks directly at Pete.
It's okay.
As relief washes over him, Frankie sinks into Pete's embrace.
Members of the jury, do you find the defendant guilty or not guilty of murder?
Guilty.
Is that the verdict of you all?
Yes, Your Honor.
Silence in court! If I do not have silence in the public gallery, I will have it cleared. Frank Nash, I refuse to take into account your service in the army. That was obviously done in 2009 when you faced an earlier court charged with assault. I will not let you claim credit for it twice. Furthermore, I think you have done the army a great disservice. Corporal Buckley was, by all accounts, a brilliant soldier, and you have robbed your country of his services at a time when they are most needed. Not once have you offered this court any explanation, any reason, any motive, any excuse for this savage crime. It is as much a mystery now as when the trial began. A life sentence is mandatory, but it is for me to set a minimum term. Frank Nash, you will serve a minimum of 25 years.
The judge's words hit Pete hard, filling him with sadness and guilt.
Take him down.
Maria cries as the guard leads Frankie away.